just gets worse and worse.
Well, actually not, because on Fridays, this gentleman is so generous with his time. It is Mike Wimacher with you here on this Friday, March 22nd, joined by Johnny Molson. Good morning, my friend.
Oh, I make every room better, don't I?
You really do. Such a sparkling conversationalist. For people who don't know, you see Johnny out and about. I mean, he's just going to talk your ear off.
Yes, right.
I mean, he's a guy who's just going to...
Please.
You can't get him to be quiet out of the bar.
I'm sitting by myself. Please, walk right up and start yapping.
If you want someone to cast a aspersion in a glance at you, just do that if you see him by himself. So,
yes.
Appreciate your time as always, sir, coming in. We're going to have fun. We got international flirting tips coming up this hour just for you.
I'll step out.
According to the experts.
Okay.
And we'll judge whether they're going to be effective or not.
Okay.
So we got that coming up. But we begin, I understand when loss hits, when there's a passing of someone and they're at a distance.
Oh, we're starting on an up note. That's good.
Well, you haven't heard the whole story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Because this particular individual was not going to be able to make it to be there in person. And we've seen, because of the pandemic, the unfortunate situations of streaming the funeral services now for, you know, so you can be involved if you can't make it to the actual. Well, this particular woman, and this footage has been passed around, which it should not have been. But nonetheless, this funeral service was for a father of three who had passed away from cancer. And so they live streamed it. And what they did to make the people who were unable to make it there in person to be even more personal, they kind of had like a video wall for all the people who logged in, so you could see those people as well. Unfortunately for this particular 48-year-old businesswoman and personal trainer, apparently the funeral service was right in the middle of her process of getting ready for the morning. And so she turned it on to be a part of it, but did not realize that her camera was on. And so for everyone in the church who was mourning this man to see, they saw her in her entire birthday suit.
Oh, boy.
And so...
I want to go to more funerals. This is great.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's...
Who died next? I'll go over that one.
Who's going to be nude for the next one? So, yeah, when the stream went live, her full showering regimen was shown hundreds of mourners inside the church.
She took it in the bathroom with her?
Yes, that's the thing. She was going through
God.
So, a couple of questions here. One, she knows what time the funeral is, right? So, why would you want that as part of your getting ready in the morning routine? I mean, I understand it may be someone who's close to you, obviously, to the point where you got the Zoom link.
Not close enough.
That you got the Zoom link, but... That, out of all the things to have going on in the background of me getting ready in the morning,
right.
I don't know if I want a live funeral stream.
Yeah.
Part of it. No offense.
You're bent over the sink, brushing your teeth.
Right, exactly. You're
spitting into the sink, into the bowl.
You're washing and drying certain crevasses of your body, and you're just like, as this preacher's saying, like, oh, he leaves behind, and you're just like, oh, I got to make sure I get that part.
Got your hand up in the air, and you put an underarm deodorant on.
Right, exactly. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, look, here's the thing. It's 2024.
Okay? Yes. Yeah.
I've been using Zoom for a decade.
Okay, you're right.
Most people I know really got into it during the pandemic. Come on. You know how the thing works.
Right.
I just don't feel sorry for people who can't quite navigate the computer right now.
Yeah, know what's going on too. If you're going to be one of those morbid people that likes funeral services to get ready to in the morning, make sure you know that your camera is not on.
Look, I'm not even buying that this person was important to her. Because if this person was important to her, you get up 20 minutes early.
Correct.
Do your shower.
Right.
Then you sit down with the computer.
Correct.
And watch the service. It's not.
Thank you.
A funeral service isn't something you just have on in the background if you're listening to a baseball game.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's not how this works. It's not like you're putting your favorite your shower playlist where you sing along. What are you doing? I mean, because you're right. You're not even fully invested at that point because you're doing so many other things. Why even log into it to even have this possibility
happen? I hope she had her leg up on the sink and she was shaving.
Oh, I'm sure she was. I'm sure she was. By the way,
trying to think of all the ridiculous things you do in the bathroom.
Footage of the moment has gone viral.
Oh, good.
After
look that up.
After being shared heavily on WhatsApp.
Oh, my
So somebody was like, somebody had to have been like, you're never going to believe what's going on with this funeral. You got to see this. And the footage that I saw was someone's phone. Mm-hmm. So someone had joined in on their phone and all the different screens, and they're just like, what is going on here? So, yeah, please, if you're going...
It's like a couple of years ago when Jeffrey Toobin...
Oh, yeah, the tube man?
Yeah, Tubes. Decided, you know, they were, like, going to take a break in a meeting, and he's like, oh, I got 5 minutes. I'll just, like, unzip here and, you know.
That's not what you do.
That's a... Yeah. Why? In the middle of the day, you just have to do that?
No. No, that is not...
In the middle of a meeting?
Yes, right. Yeah,
it's like,
true.
I'm just going to go clear my head for a second.
What were they talking about in that meeting that got him revved up so much? Oh, yeah, more legal trial stuff.
And if you, you take every possible precaution. You check and you double check.
Yes.
And you talk into the microphone. Hey, can anybody hear me? You wave and you jump around. And if nobody responds, then maybe you pull up Pornhub. Maybe.
That's a maybe. Same thing with, you know, if you get the link to the Zoom funeral, you probably make sure you're not nude before you click on it.
Right.
And definitely make sure you're not going through the morning routine of the shaving of certain spaces.
Clipping your toenails right there on the camera.
Oh, God. Boink. Bleaching certain parts. Mm. You know, you don't want that happening either.
Oh, you went too far.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. We'll take a break. We come back. International flirting tips, according
great.
To experts.
Let me get out my notebook.
Yes, exactly. So, including a place you just went to. Let's.
This may well prove fascinating.
We try. That's a strong word, but we try to fascinate as much as we can here. It's Mike Wimacher with you on WMAY this Friday, March 22nd, joined by Johnny Molson.
Morning.
And if you're planning on doing some international traveling, do we have some information for you?
Or just some local exotic flirting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you want to switch up your flirting game. This is from a panel of experts. The best way to go about flirting in different countries.
Oh, okay.
They have a wide variety of them, so we'll go through each and every one.
I can't wait to get to Germany.
Oh, Germany's on the list.
I want to go to bed with you.
Now! Yeah, now! And, all right, you want to start with Germany?
Sure, let's start with Germany.
All right, Germany, shocking to no one, the best way to flirt in Germany is...
Throw a beer on her.
...is to be upfront and punctual.
Punctual. Yeah.
Yeah. Noel Wolf at Babbel says Germans are known for being direct, and this can apply in the dating world too. Showing off or cheesy lines don't tend to be the preferred style.
It is 9:01 and you are not here. I'm going home.
Yes, honest communication is appreciated, even if the truth can be a little painful sometimes. Mm-hmm. I do not like your teeth.
Yeah.
So people tend not to beat around the bush. One thing that is important to bear in mind is the importance of punctuality. Being fashionably late will not make a good first impression if you're dating a German.
Check.
Yes, Germans will not wait around for you. They have no use for that at all.
I will invade you if you don't show up.
You took too long. I now take this. This is my dinner now, too. If you go to the UK, they like sharp wit, which hides your simmering passion. They say, Hannah Dorling, a cruise travel expert and founder of Love Cruise Ships. That sounds like someone who's going to have a pineapple upside down.
Yeah, exactly.
They claims wit leads the way for chatting up in the UK. They say British flirting succeeds more through teasing jokes and intellectual sparring than overt displays.
Yes, I find you to be a complete ninny.
Sharing private laughs helps intimacy grow. They say, for me, the intrigue is in the subtleties of British flirting. Mastering repartee, inside jokes, and sending possibilities underneath. It may look restrained, but passions can still simmer below the surface.
Oh, okay. I'd like to show you my Buckingham Palace.
Yeah. Exactly. That would be right there.
Unzip. Here's Big Ben.
Parliament over there as well. Here. Up next, U.S.
Okay.
The USA, they say, is...
Or want a hamburger?
Yeah. Direct and sincere is what they say. Americans are noted for being more to the point and sincere in their flirting than their fellow Anglophones in the UK. He notes that...
Watch your mouth.
Yeah. He says, he notes that asking about someone's career is the traditional American icebreaker, adding, Americans tend to be less sarcastic than the Brits.
Interesting.
Do you find that true?
I probably. I think, you know, there's a good chunk of society that can't detect sarcasm.
That's
and they
true.
Scare me.
That's
they
true.
Really scare me. I worked with a guy once, and I literally had to keep a cardboard sign on my desk that I lifted up and said, sarcasm, because I would say something, and he would look just crestfallen, like I just kicked his puppy.
Oh, God.
And I would have to remind him, that was a joke, man.
That is the worst. Like, my sister is really, really good at dry humor, and sometimes my friends who don't know my sister, like when they first meet her, my sister will say something, and they'll kind of give a look like, you're related to, like, what did, and she'll be like, sorry, didn't hit the way I wanted.
You shouldn't have to apologize.
No, exactly.
Find a new group of friends.
Exactly. That's on them, not on you. South China, they say, I don't know if I can say these words on the air when it comes to South China flirting, but they say chopstick codes and rice balls.
Could you say that again, Mike?
Chopstick codes and rice balls is how you flirt in South China.
Chopstick codes.
Yeah, a relationship expert says that a fun flirting tradition in southern China, they celebrate the Sisters Meal Festival, their version of Valentine's. The woman will cook some sticky rice in a range of different colors. Then when a guy makes the move, they will hand them some rice in a handkerchief. If they unwrap it and find two chopsticks, that means it worked.
Wow. So that's a lot of ceremony.
There is a lot of ceremony going on there. You have to chat it up, and if you are successful, they will hand you, much like The Bachelor has a rose, in South China, here is the rice ball.
Right.
And if you have the chopstick in it, just one chopstick means the girl isn't interested. But as only the guy can see how many chopsticks are in there, it's relatively subtle and less embarrassing if it's a no.
That's brutal.
That is brutal. Can you imagine chatting up all night someone and then having to wait until they hand you a handkerchief filled with sticky rice?
Right.
And then wondering, will it be one or two?
You're sitting at the movie and you just get like a handful of rice in your hands. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I think she might like me.
And then you open it up like, it's just one chopstick.
Yep, it is just one chopstick.
It's a one chopstick
just,
type of night.
Just me and my chopstick tonight.
Just me and my sticky rice. Damn it. Should have gone to Germany. I was on time. It would have been fine. Spain is up next. And they say in Spain, which, you know, all these kind of play out to kind of what we would
to
assume.
The stereotype.
Yeah, to the stereotype. In Spain, it's direct eye contact. And plenty of touching.
Yes, and running from the bulls.
Yes, look me in my eyes. This person said, Spaniards are very expressive people, and when flirting, we tend to show this through direct eye contact and physical touch. Sarah Rodriguez, founder of Madrid Traveling, agrees. She says, quote, you don't have to be shy with the me gustas. I like you. We aim to leave no uncertainty about romantic interest.
All right.
I like where Spain's at. Women especially are bold, leading with smiles and winks. We find clarity sexy. Why dance around chemistry when you can feel the fire?
It is a dance.
Why?
And the dance is the worst part.
Why can't more people be like Spain?
I know.
Instead of having to wait for your rice ball, Spain is just like, I like you, I don't like you.
This goes back to my idea for the invention of having just a series of lights on your forehead.
I think so,
like,
yeah.
Red, yellow, to green.
It's like,
okay, yeah, this is working, let's do something.
Your flirting is like a Brazilian steakhouse.
Right.
Keep it coming. No, I don't want some more, or I'm just taking a break.
Yeah.
We move from Spain to Canada. And they say in Canada, flirting is a subtle dance.
All right.
Whereas Spain is straightforward. Canada, they say flirting in Canada tends to be more low-key compared to many parts of the world.
What you doing over there, eh?
Yeah, I don't want to bother you, but I just want to go to a movie.
Would you like a drink? I don't want to hope that's not being too forward, eh?
Just water. I'm not trying to get you drunk.
Yeah, I don't want anything like that. I'm not going to drop anything weird in your Molson over there.
And if you want a Labatt's, then I'll get you one.
Canadians have a reputation for being polite and respectful, and this carries over in romantic pursuits. They say overtly sexual comments in Canada can be seen as crass.
Mm-hmm. Can I pet your sled dog?
Yeah, you don't want anything about, you don't want to see my moose head?
Right.
They don't want anything like that. While Canadian flirting is low impact, it runs deep. Canadians seek life partners, not conquests.
Okay.
They say it's a subtle dance of communication and, I don't even know that word, values driving attraction. France.
I like to look at your aurora borealises.
I didn't mean to say that. You want to see my northern lights? I'd like to see your northern lights. It looks like a little cold here in this shanty. France,
Lingering eye contact and buttery compliments.
Lots of cigarettes.
Yes. Mm. By the way, here's the travel expert for France is Fiona Spinks.
Yeah. Where's her OnlyFans page?
Right, exactly. All
Fiona Spinks.
All lingering eye contact, suggestive body language, and buttery compliments about your intelligence are irresistible je ne sais quoi. They say leave it to the land of romance to elevate the humble chat-up line to poetic levels with romantic gestures like handwritten notes and intimate invitations.
That sounds French.
Yeah, it does. Would you like to see my baguette?
That's right.
Yeah, look at my croissant. So buttery and nice. And we have Italy. Mm-hmm. In Italy, it's persistency.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So they say Italy has a reputation for amorous, persistent men relentlessly pursuing the objects of their desire.
Man.
Serenading.
I feel that.
Serenading and poetic overtures are more common flirting tactics there than in many other countries. So you really got to go out. Just keep going. The Italians wear you down.
Yeah, once you lock in on someone, you just it's like we're gonna work. We're just gonna keep going until this works.
And finally, Brazil, Mexico, and Costa Rica, fast-paced and aggressive mm-hmm. flirting tactics. In Mexico and South America, flirting can be rather aggressive. Clarissa Bloom says in Brazil, they're much more fast-paced with their dating and flirting. Adding, it's common to be close, to dance together, and to kiss on a first date in Brazil. They also say in Mexico, meanwhile, it's commonplace to hear wolf whistling or comments shouted aloud. And in Costa Rica, you may hear men bark, make dog barks at you, which is an odd way to show your attraction.
That's flirting?
In Costa Rica.
How unsettling. Oh, my God. How unsettling.
Yeah. Up your
and
game.
And women like that?
Apparently
these are successful flirting
tips. Right, exactly. So if you
so
want to...
in Costa Rica, you start howling at somebody.
Yeah, wow.
Good God.
And Australia, I forgot there's one more. Australia, they say just friendly banter is how you flirt in Australia. Mm-hmm. They say playful banter fueled by humor and confidence over pickup
lines.
You're
still alive. You didn't get eaten by a snake.
They tease with witty quips, often about cultural touch points, showing ability to charm while gently poking fun. Mm-hmm. See the dingo didn't get your baby there.
That's right.
I see the wallaby didn't punch you in the old stomach, eh?
You lose your leg from a spider bite.
Yeah, that's Australian is half the battle is just surviving.
Yeah.
And that's how you're able to get the women. So
Incredible.
There you go. There's some international flirting tips, ladies
Great.
And gentlemen.
I got enough trouble in America. I don't need to.
Well, maybe you can switch it up.
Yeah, maybe
use some of these particular. Maybe next time you're out and about, just bark like a dog and see what happens. It works in Costa Rica. Why not here in Springfield? We'll take a break for news. And when we come. It is Mike Molson with you here on WMAY, and this Friday, March 22nd. Johnny, I know you're super excited. Are your brackets doing okay? I know you fill those out every year.
Oh, is that going on right now?
Yeah, I know. I know you're. I had somebody on Facebook yesterday, and I understand not everyone's a big sports fan, but this individual works in our industry on a particular station that should know what's going on when it comes to that, at least.
Gotcha.
And they posted on Facebook, they're like, reminder myself, don't go to a bar for lunch on the first day of the NCAA tournament. It's like, yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
Is March Madness starting later in March than normal?
This year it is.
Okay.
It's so weird because I look...
Because it's going into April, isn't it?
Well, it always does.
Yeah. Right.
That's what the championship game is. But I look back, and this is how pathetic... I don't want to know pathetic, but it just shows how much my life is dictated by sporting events.
That's a shame.
When I check my Facebook memories of like the past week and a half... Each day you could tell when March Madness starts because there's the same lame-ass post that I've posted. And I've stopped for the past 5 years, but it's there forever on the internet. So I needed to up my game a little bit. That's why I didn't make the post this time around. 217-629-7970 is the phone number. I found this absolutely shocking because one thing that I always try to remember to do as part of my nighttime and even morning routine is brush my damn teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one wants the funk emanating from your mouth when you talk to people. But according to this new poll of 2,000 adults, the average person forgets to brush their teeth 5 times per week. That seems really high.
So are we talking that maybe they just get it in the morning and don't do it at night? Or are we just talking they just forget to entirely?
They say that it's not only... So, yeah, they just forget about it entirely.
Just completely...
Just
spaced
five,
on it.
Five times. That's every day.
Yeah.
I imagine that means, what are you? Are you a twice-a-day brusher or just a one-a-day? Yeah. See, I used to be just a one-a-day brusher, and then I realized that, you know, once you get out of grade school, you got to be a twice-a-day brusher. It helps you wake up in the morning.
And whatever the number is, I always lie to my dentist. It's always, you know, I was like three or four times a day, and I floss four times, and I am.
Does anyone have that actual full routine that you see in all these commercials?
No.
Where you do the brush and the floss and the mouthwash.
Full 2.5 minutes.
It's like, yeah, well, I now have a... This is how lazy I am. 217-629-7970. How do you forget to brush your teeth? I understand. I used to do it in my younger days, like when I would, you know, work till midnight or whatever, and then come home and just kind of pass out, and I would just be like, I'll get to it in the morning. But how do you forget five times in a week?
Yeah, it's rare. It's rare. You know, I might on a Saturday, you know, I get up and I have breakfast and a coffee and I'm walking around and doing stuff and it may get past me.
Right. Yeah.
But man, it's like once a year, maybe.
Yeah, five times in a week. And here's how lazy I am. You know, you talked about how you're supposed to brush for 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I even have the toothbrush now, right? Because the big thing is to have the... Better than the electric we used to have as a kid. Remember the first time you tried an electric toothbrush as a kid of our age?
Yeah.
And it was just like a freaking, like, jackhammer in your mouth. Yes. It's much better now. I have one that's timed out. That every 30 seconds, it'll stop... For you to like change what you're brushing to go again.
And does it play the wheels on the bus go round and round?
It should. It should, but it does not. But so it's supposed to be 2 minutes. I still only go for a minute. Like I'm just like, 2 minutes is an eternity to
like
brush my teeth.
Crazy long time to be brushing teeth.
The average person, I think, I don't think
the hygienist spends that much time.
No. Well, my hygienist said one time the average time is like 23 seconds, and you're supposed to do 2 minutes. And I tap out at a minute. I just can't do it. But here's the thing now, when I go on vacation and I don't bring the toothbrush, the electric toothbrush with me, I'm just like, ugh, I'm brushing my own teeth. This is awful. Like, I get so upset by it. Like, ugh, now I have to scrub my own teeth. So 5 times a week, people forget. They also skip out on flossing and using mouthwash 4 times each week. I don't floss nearly enough. I should do it way more than I do. It's one of those things of, for some reason I feel, and I think we all do this, when we know a dentist appointment is imminent, we feel like, 2 days beforehand, if we start doing the things we should have, they'll never know.
Right. It's like cleaning your house before the maid comes over.
Yeah, it's like they always know.
They always know.
What are you doing? So I skip the flossing more than I should. But I am very much brush teeth, mouthwash, and I'm good.
Yeah.
In the morning when I first wake up, first thing I do, brush teeth, mouthwash. Last thing I do at night, brush the teeth, mouthwash. That's why I make sure I don't forget like these other gross people. They say 92% of Americans believe their oral care routine is important to their overall health. In fact, 51% believe oral hygiene is so important that they'd speak to a loved one if they noticed they had poor oral care habits or bad breath. That's always a tough conversation, isn't it?
One.
Because God bless my old man, my dad. Loved him to death, but towards the end, like he hadn't gone to the dentist in years and years, and he would just use not even like chewing gum or mints. He used those like Listerine strips. It was like a piece of Listerine. There was like Listerine tape
that
you would put out, and I was just like, "That's not helping."
Right. It smells like Lysol.
It
smells like cleaning detergent. It's awful.
It was medicinal. It was like cleaning strips that he would just have in his pocket. And I was like,
"That's not the same."
No, I was like, "This is the most. What do you do? Just go to the dentist." And I understand going to the dentist is never a fun activity. Like you're inviting someone to shove their fingers in your mouth.
Yeah.
That's not something you would usually do on a normal, and let alone pay for it, except for on back channels on the internet.
I don't mind the dentist. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
There's some people just freak out of it.
It's fine. I was with somebody. How do you handle this? You mentioned saying to somebody that their teeth are messed up. But I was with somebody recently, and good friend of mine, and we're having a conversation, and I noticed she had like some kale stuck in her teeth.
You got to let them know.
And I did. And I did because, and I told her this. I said, I know if I don't say something, you'll see it later, and you'll be mad at me for not saying anything.
It's better.
So I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm just letting you know there's some kale stuck in your teeth.
It's better to get the it's better to get the upsetness out of the way early.
Yeah. No, she was grateful. She was grateful.
Okay.
No, she was not.
Because there are some people be like, how dare you tell me I'm not eating correctly?
Yeah.
But you're right. If you don't say anything, and then it shows up in a picture later, like, how dare you not tell me that?
Right. And I think it's one of the. It was. Over at my brother's house once, and I think this is one of those Catholic things, like everything's embarrassing, you know, everything everything personal stuff has to be real low key.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking to my brother in his kitchen. It's just he and I. There's nobody else around. The dog is walking around, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Clientown.
Mm-hmm.
What? I said, Clientown. What? I said, your fly is down. Oh, okay. Well, zip.
Yeah.
Just tell me. It's not.
And we had this. We talked about it a little bit earlier this week too, about that situation of like, you know, if the fly is down, you want someone to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's difficult because we were talking about body odor. Because apparently, like, there was a survey that a bunch of the younger generation of men are just freaked out about their stink.
Mm.
So to the point where they obsess it, like they're just so worried about it, and it's like. You got to tell people when the fly is that you would appreciate it, right? You don't want to walking around and something accidentally falling out there.
And I don't want. And I don't. It shouldn't be like a big deal between friends.
Correct.
You know, it'd be worse if you were walking around Hy-Vee and a 14-year-old girl goes, your zipper's down. That would probably wreck me for the day.
Yeah, or they would be difficult for me to see a stranger's fly because then they know that I accidentally saw their crotch.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, look at that. Then you feel embarrassed because, like, now instead of being the guy walking around with your fly down, you're the crotch starer.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be that guy either.
It's fine. You know, nobody gets embarrassed. You just go, okay, fine.
Right, yes. Right.
I goofed.
Yeah, just got to be adult about it and just let them know that whether the kale in the teeth, the breath stinks, they got some BO, or the fly is down, just let somebody know. It's just that simple. We'll take our final break here at the 7 o'clock hour. We come back. This seems like a good idea. Mike Molson with you here on WMAY on this Friday, March 22nd.
Kicking it.
Yeah, that's what we do. 217-629-7970. That is the phone number to join in the conversation. Next hour, a hot debate. That has been reignited by an article online about toilet paper, over or under.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, are we here again?
Yeah, we're here again because people are dumb and keep putting it under. And so we will discuss coming up. Also, I found a list from Loudwire of the most controversial songs of the year you were born. So it goes all the way back to like into the 50s, the most controversial song for each year of the year you were born. So I have that list.
I like that.
Yeah, I have that list next hour as well. This seems like a great idea in theory, but I just don't know if your food is going to arrive the way you would like it to in this particular instance. DoorDash is partnering with Alphabet Wings Drones in a pilot program to deliver Wendy's items in Virginia. So you're going to get your food delivered via drone. The wing drones reportedly fly the eligible items, including the Baconator, Frosties, and even chili at 65 miles per hour before gently dropping them off on a customer's front lawn.
Wow.
So a couple of things with this. You have to be within like a 2.5 mile radius for this to work right now. But my thing is twofold. One, there's a lot that can go wrong in that particular situation. And two, I kind of feel like, aren't you then flying that high? Isn't it like falcons or something like that? They'll smell a Baconator and attack your food?
Yeah, I think the first animals to figure this out are going to be raccoons. I mean, they will pounce on those things, right?
I didn't even think about that. At least when you're smart. Have like DoorDash come up and drop it off at your front door, they ring the doorbell and let you know. The drone just, to your point, I didn't even think about the raccoons.
The raccoons.
I was just thinking about the birds of prey.
Sure.
Up there smelling and go, hey, free meal.
That's all.
Let me attack this bag.
Yeah, I don't know how they ensure against just people stealing your food or how that works.
I guess you would have on, if you're ordering DoorDash via app or even online, you would get some type of notification that, hey, yeah, drone has landed with your Baconator.
I've seen some of the test ones where they like drop them down on a line and lower them and you just pick it up.
What?
Yeah, like the drone stays up there.
Right.
And then lowers it down on a winch.
How big are these drones, by the way? And how big is your order? Like, if you want 4 Baconators and some things of chili and 3 Frosties, I don't know if that's a droneable order to be delivered.
It's an interesting technology. I mean, I'm fascinated by it, and there's probably some benefit to it. But, man, at what point do we get where the sky is just full of those things going, it's got that terrible
zzzz. Yeah, right, exactly. And there's that part of the
sounds
equation
horrible.
As well. Like, also, I'm concerned about a Frosty being drone. You know, you get hit by one bird who tries to attack, and then all of a sudden you got Frosty on your roof.
That would be funny. When I was in Los Angeles in January, those robots that deliver groceries and food are walking around the sidewalks. These little motion carts.
Yeah, exactly.
That just drive around, and it's like, that's neat, weird, scary, cool. I mean, it's all right. These things at once.
Everything at once.
Yeah.
I just don't know. By the way, they say here, in order to get it, all homes have to be in the 2.5 mile radius of the Wendy's, but they have to have a lawn or other landing pad. What's other landing pad? Hi, you're on WMAY.
So how are they
going to
keep it warm and cold?
That's my other question.
If it's going 60 miles an hour during, warm weather.
Right.
Okay, your Frosty is going to be melted by the time you get it. Or, your food's going to be cold. Then people are going to complain. You also got to worry about all of the kids that are now going to be fascinated by the drones that's going to come and steal your food out of your yard because they got a drone.
Yeah. I didn't think about it. Appreciate the phone call. I didn't think about the kids being like, free Frosties, and just running after them.
I mean, I imagine there's some sort of, it's probably in a box or something.
I would imagine
that's
it's not
insulated.
I would imagine it's not what I'm thinking of, just Wendy's bag
just
hanging
the bag
there.
Just
a bag swinging in the air as the Falcon comes through and rips a hole in it and grabs your Baconator and flies off.
So I imagine it's in some kind of container that will keep it at its proper temperature. There are so many problems before you get to the benefit of this, I think.
Well, not only that, but it speaks to something we've talked about before of, you have to be within a 2.5 mile radius of the Wendy's.
Right.
How lazy do you have to be to not at least get in the car and drive a 2.5 mile to get your own damn Wendy's instead of having the...
Yeah.
Because what's the upcharge for the drone delivery?
Yeah, it ain't free.
No, it's not free at all.
Yeah, we've talked before, and again, I'd love to hear from you, the laziest DoorDash you've ever done. Because you can. You can get on DoorDash and order a thing of fries, and they'll bring it to you for $10.
I mean, I understand...
some people will do it.
I understand if you want to drone in some vital supplies to your home.
Right.
Right? Things you need, like, oh no, I'm out of paper towels.
Right.
Or I need some shampoo. I get that. Right? You don't want to actually go into the supermarket. But Wendy's has a friggin' drive-thru. What are you doing having to drone in your damn Baconator? Yeah,
we're turning into Wally
real quick. Hi, you're on WMAY.
We're turning into Wally. You're exactly right. We're going to be like those people where they're just sitting in that big recliner and weighing about 500 pounds. But the thing this is perfect for is the people, the introverts, they don't have to talk to anybody anymore. All they got to do is enter it on their phone, and it shows up in their front yard, and they go get it. It's like these people I see at the grocery store that order online. They sit in the front of their car. They sit in the driver's seat while somebody loads up the back of their car with their groceries. They don't. I mean, I would at least get out and say, hey, thanks a lot, or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, I don't have to interact with anybody, so this is perfect for me.
Appreciate the phone call.
The more socially isolated we can be, I think the healthier our society is going to come.
Yeah, at least that's what a lot of people think.
Good grief.
Yeah, so I don't know. I want video of the first one of these to be done to see if any of our fears come true.
Amazon has talked about this, I think in some markets they're doing it, and so it's interesting. But I don't feel like it's quite soup yet. I think it still
right.
needs.
It still needs to be cooked.
It needs
to simmer a little bit more before I'm going. Yes, I would like a drone, and I want to know what other language. That is too good. Speaking of too good, the Mike and Most Too Good for Radio podcast. New episode later on today. I got to play this live on the air. I know we had set something else up, but there's just some clips on the internet that just live forever for good reason.
Yep.
This one surprisingly only has 65,000 views, but I think it's just because I'm going through the source. There's people who've isolated more often. But this is, if you don't remember, Yannick Bertrand is a skier. And he, I give credit to the announcer here in this particular situation. Just listen closely. If you've never heard this before, you only can imagine through the power of radio what is happening. We'll describe it here momentarily, but
Bertrand.
So the poor skier just whack, and here it comes, the announcer right on cue.
Oh, the gate to the groin for Yannick Bertrand, and you could hear it. And if you're a man, you could feel it. Wow, watch this again.
And they come back in slow motion as the man loses control, coming out of the turn, and then just whap.
Oh, the Frenchman. Oh, monsieur.
Yeah, he takes the turn too tight, and the gate, the flag, goes right between his legs.
Yeah, here he comes again.
Wow, watch this again.
We got to see more of this.
Yeah, let's just get that audio.
You hear your crack, the scream, and then
yep, here it comes.
Oh, the gate to the groin for Yannick Bertrand.
That's some good mic work.
And if you're a man, you could feel it. Yeah. Wow, watch this again.
He literally did the thing where his voice goes up, like they do in cartoons.
Yes, it did.
Oh, the Frenchman. Oh, monsieur. Wow, the boys took a beating on that one.
I don't know if you can say that. This was back from 2007. Yeah. I don't know if you would go on right now, if this were to happen in the Olympics, and say, oh, the boys took a beating on that one, if the announcer wouldn't get upset by that.
It's such a funny clip, and it is one of those things where every man, like, their knees go up in the air, and they go,
Is there anything worse?
It's like you can sympathetic pain from across the globe.
I mean, I know women have childbirth and everything else.
Yeah, whatever.
But is there anything
worse? This is worse.
Yeah, this is so worse, getting a gate right in the groinal area by poor Yannick Bertrand.
Criminy.
217-629-7970 is the phone number. So I had to just
share
that.
And why do we laugh? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, well, we all yes. go, oh, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. And then we start to laugh.
Because it's
like,
not,
that guy.
Because it's not you.
I guess so.
It's the same thing, the reason why people tend to laugh when someone falls over. It's like, once you realize they're okay, right? You can't laugh in the immediacy of it. But once you realize they're okay, like, you knew when you see this, you go, oh, God, but then you have to chuckle, because football in the groin is a football in the groin. Homer Simpson said it best.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something so, I don't know, even like the biggest, toughest Dwayne Johnson will double over with knees up by the chest and just roll around like a baby.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No, and so it doesn't matter who you are.
Something about just going from I'm just a guy walking around to now I'm on my back like a turtle.
It's a great equalizer. Yeah. A shot in the old boys, as the guy says, it's a great equalizer. Hi, you're on WDMAY.
I would say, are you really a boy now, though? I mean, that's the bigger question. You took a hit like that, and I mean,
well,
are you still a guy?
Yeah, that's the biggest question mark, is if everything's still okay down there.
Yeah.
Well, and this is a classic AFV scenario, to be quite honest. I mean, and just the announcer on the side, I mean, that's your Tom Bergeron or, you know, Alphonse or anything like that. And it's just a classic, to be quite honest with you now.
Yeah.
Because like you were saying prior, I mean, any guy that sees that automatically just winces in pain for a half a second and then laughs about it.
Yeah. And we've all made that noise.
Exactly.
Yike. Well, and you were talking about the mic work. Any mic could have picked that scream up.
Yes.
To be quite honest, because any guy already knows. You get whacked like that, there's like 80,000 decibels that are going to come out of you.
No, you make a great point too there, EJ Irvy Jr., in the fact that America's Funniest Home Videos has made, the only reason that show exists is to see guys who are playing like baseball or anything with their little kid get hit in the old yam bags. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole premise of the show.
That's exactly right, because any T-ball instructor knows you're going to take one or five in the groin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And life has shown us, AFV has shown us, and all too well, that it's inevitable.
Yep.
To be quite honest.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. That's the hazard, that when you play with the kid or whatever it may be, wiffle ball, that inevitably this will transpire and you will make this sound. And what a sound it is.
Through the S turn.
Here he comes once again, Yannick Bertrand. Just the sound of that gate snapping back. Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be the most velocity or most ferocious hit. It's just sometimes the graze of just the quick snapback is even worse than just getting a full, like, you know, the beanbag right in the beanbag.
I'm thinking, you could watch like Albert Pujols up to bat and he could take a baseball to the head, you know, shake it off and go, okay, I'm back fine.
Right.
But man, if that bounces up into his groin, it's game over. He's got to go home.
When it comes to the baseball, the ones that I shouldn't laugh at, I don't know what it is about it, but we just do. It's the one where they bounce a pitch in and it gets by the catcher, but it hits the umpire and the old boys like to see, because it's one thing to have a fine condition athlete, because you, like you said, it's a great equalizer. But then when you see an older umpire dude just get hit right in the groin, it's just
and they always freeze in place and just tip over.
Yes,
like a cigar store Indian, just boom.
That's all you can do. It's all you can do in those situations. It's the most awful feeling. But we've all.
It's so cartoonish.
Yes,
I mean you freeze and you tip.
That's all you do, and you make the sound which poor Yannick Bertrand made.
And then the trainer always has to come out with an ice bag and just like put his hand on there. Hold it in place. It's going to be okay.
I've shared this story once before, but it bears repeating because of this situation of a buddy of mine. I was supposed to go see Shrek 2 with him and his daughter, okay? And so I wanted to call to confirm that we were on for the movie. I call him up, and his wife answers his phone, which was odd, but okay. And I was like, hey, is Doug around? She's like, yeah. He's just lying on the kitchen floor with an ice bag. I was like, pardon me? She's like, I'll put him on the line for you so he can fill you in. So I'm like, hey, bud, what's going on? Oh, not much. I'm like, why do you sound like Michael Jackson? He's like, you're never going to guess what happened. I was like, okay. He's like, he was mowing the lawn, and he saw a Super Bowl in the middle of the lawn, and he assumed that his lawnmower's blades were of enough strength that it would chop it up and just grind it down as he went over it.
That's a choice.
Instead, what transpired was it hit the blade and then shot out of the lawnmower at such a speed. And he said, it hit me right in the middle. It split the difference so bad. Like, and he then just double overed in pain, and the lawnmower kept going. Because of the fact it was one of those self-propelled ones.
Oh, jeez.
So the lawnmower had to keep going until it luckily hit the fence and stopped as he was down there. And he was like, I was like, whoa, how long ago? 15 minutes. I was like, are we still on for the movie? He's like, yeah, I promised the daughter we'll be there.
Oh, no.
So he gets out of the car and he starts walking as if he had been in a Western movie for 3 months. Mm-hmm. He gets into the theater and then asks just for a glass of ice and then proceeds to kind of straddle the seat so that he could kind of still have the ice in that general vicinity as he watched Shrek 2. So let that be a lesson to everyone out there mowing the lawn. You may think your lawnmower is powerful enough, but don't try it. Just don't try it. Because
poorly designed, our crotch area. Very poorly designed. Really didn't think that out, I don't think.
What do you mean? How so?
They shouldn't be hanging out in the open like that.
That's true. That's true. There's not enough cover for them.
Something that sensitive, I don't think.
Exactly. So... it's the great equalizer. It's one of the most painful things that's going to happen. And if you've ever played any sport whatsoever, even with a cup on, it still is just not great. not great at all.
But so, man, it's funny.
Yeah, as long as it's not you.
It shouldn't be funny. But
as long as it's not you, it's hilarious because this particular clip will never not be hilarious to hear.
Yannick Bertrand. Oh, the gate to the groin for Yannick Bertrand, and you could hear it. And if you're a man, you could feel it. Wow. Watch this again.
I love how they went, wow. That's so bad.
Oh, the Frenchman. Oh, monsieur.
Bust out the glow sticks. The kids still use the pacifiers, too, when they go to the raves.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been to a rave.
I've never been to one, and I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. It is Micah Molson with you here on WMAY on this Friday, March 22nd. 217-629-7970 is the phone number. Because I found this list. It is the most controversial song of the year you were born.
Oh, okay.
So you can call in, give us the year you were born if you want to, and then we will give you the most controversial song that year, and they give the reason why that song. For instance, if you were born in 1955, they say the most controversial song of that year was Chuck Berry's Maybelline. They said, rife with clever wordplay and a dexterous combination of styles, Chuck Berry's first major hit single was a rock and roll revolution in the making. While the lyrics weren't necessarily subversive, Berry's skin color and influential sound were enough to generate a degree of controversy. Mainstream music would never quite be the same because of it. Let's see here. So I'm 1977 is my birth year. So let's see what song was the most controversial of 1977.
Disco Duck?
Oh, it should be if it isn't. They're going to go with Loudwire goes with God Save the Queen. It was the most controversial song from 1977. They say banned from the BBC for gross bad taste. This seminal punk song equated British royalty to a fascist regime released on their own. And that's the thing. People don't realize. They don't. Sex Pistols had one album.
Yeah.
Never mind the Bollocks. Right. That was it. Then they were done. Presented the Sex Pistols and the punk movement at large as a genuine force to be reckoned with. Some sources have dubbed God Save the Queen the most controversial song in history.
And wasn't there a scandal with that, that it didn't make it to number one, and they thought maybe the crown had
done that. Yeah, exactly.
Intervened.
Yeah, we interviewed Steve Jones back in the day, the guitar player for the Sex Pistols, and he spoke about that at length of how it was a big conspiracy against them because of the fact that the lyrics and what it meant, that there was a little bit of weirdness there.
Man, that short period of time when they hit before Sid dies, I mean, we're talking like 18 months. I mean, it's not that long.
No.
It's not that long of a...
And Sid wasn't even an original member of the band.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Like they hit, they're big, they get rid of the original bass player, Glenn Matlock, they bring in Sid Vicious, and then they're done.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a blink of an eye, but changed everything.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Would you like to play what the most controversial song would you like to give
me? I mean, I was born in a controversial year of 1968.
All right, 19.
Everything was on fire, and people were being assassinated left and right.
Say it loud, I'm black, and I'm proud, by James Brown.
That
keeping
fits.
Both feet squarely in the funk arena, James Brown imparted with social conscious anthem in 1968, released on an album of the same name that addressed issues of racism and the ongoing need for black empowerment. Brown rallied behind Democratic presidential nominee Hubert Humphrey that same year. Mm-hmm. So that would be the most controversial one from 1968. 1969, Give Peace a Chance, they say was the most...
Was the most controversial?
That's what they say. They say John Lennon coined the phrase Give Peace a Chance during the highly publicized bed-in, and then he recorded this tune with Yoko Ono on the event's final day. Released amid the Vietnam War, it delivered a raw and powerful plea for love and understanding. It also gave Lennon his first number one single outside of the Beatles.
I'm surprised that it was... I mean, I can see it being a thing, you know?
Right.
People saying, okay, what's this hippie doing here?
Yeah.
But I guess maybe it did.
1974, we're going through the most controversial songs from the year you were born, 217-629-7970, if you want to give us the year you were born and find out what was the most controversial song that year. 1974 was Sweet Home Alabama. They say, radio staple to this day, Leonard Skinner's ode takes shot at Neil Young and makes references to racist Governor George Wallace. However, those who think the band was siding with Wallace's politics or legitimately feuding with Young would be mistaken. Fun fact, none of the song's three writers were actually from Alabama, which is quite interesting. I've not heard of this song before. 1975, most controversial song, The Pill, from Loretta Lynn.
The Pill?
Yeah. Taking a bold and semi-comical approach to birth control, country singer Loretta Lynn released the most controversial hit of her career, belting lines like, "The incubator is overused." Lynn encouraged married women to take the pill if they wanted to stop having babies. All right. Country radio stations and at least one Kentucky preacher wasted no time in either banning or condemning the song, which only helped to fuel its sales.
Hard to sing along to a song about medicine.
Yeah. Kind of.
Really
nice. Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. 1983. What do you think 1983's most controversial song was?
Let me think. The Safety Dance.
Close. Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
That was 83. Okay.
Yeah. The sexually charged single from Frankie Goes to Hollywood barely penetrated the mainstream when it first debuted, rolling out alongside a cheeky ad campaign and explicit music video. It gradually began to gain steam. A ban by the BBC gave the song an unintended boost, sending it to the top of the UK pop chart and keeping it there for 5 weeks.
I did not understand the subtext of that song for a long time.
Neither did I. I don't think anyone did for the long time.
In fact, I can listen to it now, and unless I'm like actively thinking about it, it's like, right.
You're like, that makes sense.
So many songs.
Oh, yeah.
About self-pleasure.
Dancing with myself.
Right.
Yeah, that's another one
Turning
there.
Japanese was one, which is horrible.
Yeah.
You think about it.
Yeah, bad enough for the title. 1986, XTC's Dear God.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big one. 1987, Beds Are Burning by Midnight Oil.
No kidding.
I want to know why here. With this global hit single, Australian rock band Midnight Oil issued a key reminder that the continent was founded on mass genocide.
Right.
The infectious protest song also demanded reparations for the remaining members of the Aboriginal group known as the Pinupi. In 2009, it was re-recorded and rebranded as a climate change anthem.
Yeah, it was obviously a big slam at the Australian government. I don't think anybody outside of Australia picked up on that nuance.
No, not at all. 1990's most controversial song. Care to take a guess at that, Johnny?
Papa Don't Preach.
Madonna.
It was Madonna?
Justify My Love.
Justify My Love.
Another one about, a year after shocking the world with a music video for Like a Prayer, Madonna upped the ante with the steaming music video for this far less iconic song depicting various forms of explicit eroticism. The controversial video was swiftly banned from MTV. It was then sold on VHS in huge numbers. Can you imagine that nowadays of like, this is banned. Now I got to go buy it on VHS to see what this is all about. Yikes.
I was, I don't want to brag, but I used to work at Blockbuster.
Oh, did you really?
I know.
Look at you.
Oh, I could tell you stories.
Oh, I'm sure. Did you ever get your own Johnny's Choice area?
I did not.
Upsetting.
I think that was after my time. But you remember the REM song, what was it, High? What was that one? What the hell was that song called?
I don't know.
But the video of it was a bunch of topless women and the black bar bouncing around.
Yeah, exactly.
But on the VHS version, not censored.
Oh, wow.
Didn't know this.
Oh, no, did you not play that?
I put it up on the screens. It's like, let's listen to some music. I like REM. Everybody likes REM.
And the next thing you know, boobs are popping everywhere.
It's a very jiggly video.
In 1994's most controversial song is Nine Inch Nails Closer. For obvious reasons.
Pop song 89 is what that song's
okay, called. Yeah.
I couldn't think of the name.
I'm trying to think of some other ones here. It's funny, as you get farther on into like the 2000s and stuff, you look at it and go, really? That was part of the problem? 2002's most controversial song, according to Loudwire, Dirty by Christina Aguilera. That's the best you could do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went from Coy Girl Next Door to Scandalous Sex Queen with her 4 studio albums stripped, leaving no room for doubt what the adjoining music video for this lead single, which depicted plenty of bare flesh and various fetishized images. The public outcry that followed was swift, sexist, and widespread. So, yeah. Interesting stuff here. 2004.
We don't get enough outcry.
Yes,
we
really
don't. Outcry.
Yes, we need. Oh, yeah, I think we have enough outcry. Here's one. 2008. Do you gander a guess what the most controversial song of 2008 was and how far we've now come in 16 years? It's hard to believe the song's 16 years old.
Now, tell me.
2008, Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl.
Oh, that's right.
Was the most controversial. Think about that. Think about that for a moment, if you will, that I Kissed a Girl was the most controversial song from 2008.
Yeah.
Ooh, how scandalous.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's right. That really did ruffle some feathers.
It did. And then 2010, we'll end with this one. 2010, the most controversial song. Another one much like Relax. I guess you kind of understood, but the way they hit it in within the context of the song, Foster the People pumped up Kicks.
Yeah.
Because it was just such a kind of groove to that song where you're just like, oh,
yeah, if you're
okay.
not paying attention, you completely miss that.
Yes, because I think I've shared this story before, too, of it was getting ready for an Olympic trial.
NBC.
Yeah, NBC did it, and they were getting, Usain Bolt comes up next, and they're like, yeah. try to outrun my bullet. You're like, oh, no, you can't. You
That's
can't.
Not what that song is about. It's not about running around in your sneakers.
Yeah, no, you can't be doing that. You did that. What are you doing? And they, sure enough, they had to issue an apology for it and everything else.
Sorry
about that. I'll go ahead and post a link to this so you can play along at home if you're so inclined at the Mike Wimacher Show Facebook page. We'll take our final break of the show when we come back. There's a guy who has a YouTube page, goes, there I ruined it.
Yeah.
And he put together...
Hamburger.
Oh, Alonzo Hamburger Jones. We barely knew you. You talk about, you know, the Sex Pistols with their blip on the screen. Yeah. He was the same kind of way. Yeah, the meteoric rise of one Hamburger Jones. He never did come to the Hoagland like he said he was going to.
Yeah, I know.
He even deemed us his hamburger helpers. We introduced the hamburger to the Lube Master.
That's right.
And the mashup no one knew that they needed. It is Mike Molson with you here on WMAY. Speaking of mashups, I had to share this one with you. I happened upon it earlier today. It's by a YouTube page called There I Ruined It. And you actually watched how he does this kind of thing because this isn't his first go around. He's been around for a while now.
Yeah, he's been on TikTok for a long time and Instagram and all the others. There I Ruined It, where he will take an old song and merge it with contemporary lyrics from another song, and so it just doesn't fit. And through the magic of AI, what he does is he sings it, and then he teaches the AI what, you know, this is what the Beach Boys sound like, this is what Simon and Garfunkel sound like, and then merges it all back together again. So this is Baby Got Back.
This is Simon and Garfunkel doing Baby Got Back.
To the song Bridge Over...
No, this is from Sound of Silence.
Sound of Silence.
Right.
I like big butts, I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face.
Why is it working so good?
It fits perfectly.
That's the thing about it that's really blowing my mind right now is it's working too damn good.
You get sprung, cause you noticed that butt was stuck. You pull up tough. Deep in the jeans she's wearing. What you gonna do with all that junk?
Yeah!
All that junk inside that trunk. I'ma get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my
Oh, he switched it to my humps.
Right.
What you gonna do with all that essence I've been jeans? Gonna make you scream. My hump, my hump. My hump.
Why does that just work so good?
See, I'm okay with AI doing stuff like this.
Yes. If you're going to use AI for that, go right ahead. I'm trying
to. Do you have the Bro Country one?
Oh, let's see here. I got his videos. Was that one from far back?
Yeah, no, he just.
What Bro Country? Oh, yeah. Here, okay.
So this is what Bro Country sounds to like to people who don't like Bro Country.
And it's so weird how that particular genre is so divisive, even within the own community of country music fans,
right?
Of people who do not care for the. Just how popular it is.
And I think he uses Luke Bryan's
Here we go.
Truck jeans, beer, girl, creek boots, truck, tan legs, train, dog, beer, Dixie cup. Got a beer in my beer and a Chevy in my truck. Got a dog at the wheel, cut off jeans, truck. Dirt road, bike road, beer, moonlight, red, white, and blue.
it's not wrong.
It's
that's
not wrong.
That's the problem.
My
that's
all. In the dirt, got the dirt from a dirt road beneath my truck. Got the truck got from my girl. She's got the dirt. I got the dirt. Got the dirt from the truck. Got the truck from my girl. Got the dirt. I got the dirt from a dirt road beneath my truck.
I guarantee you go to the state fair this year to one of these bands that is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And
that's really all you can hear.
If you are outside of the grandstand, that's all you're hearing.
Drunken dirt and beer.
Wait, hit it.
Got a beer in my beer and a Chevy in my truck. Got a dog at the wheel, put on jeans, truck. Dirt road, bike road, beer, moonlight. Red, white, and blue, girl, Friday. Fish bait tailgate, small town y'all. Pinks on whiskey shot, fake southern drawl. The red dirt, amen, farm double wide. Beer, 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 and I'm proud of my pride. Got a beer, my beer.
That's so good. So funny. So look up There I Ruined It on YouTube.
And spell There correctly. T-H-E-R-E, not There I Ruined
and
It.
And he's on TikTok and all the other ones.
Okay, too. Okay. Yeah, good on him because...
So funny.
The way he's able to make it work, and I'm with you. AI, I'm a little frightened by, but this is a good
That's
way.
Hilarious.
This is pretty awesome to be able to kind of put it through. And it's interesting how quickly the AI then realizes... just what that music sounds like and is able to sync it up just right. So you get just the right tone between Luke Bryan to, and I mean, and then Simon and Garfunkel with the other one. So definitely need to check him out. There I Ruined It because that's some good stuff there.
Yeah, he mixes up Nickelback and Ray Charles.
Here's what Red Hot Chili Peppers sound like.
This one's funny too. If you don't Red Hot Chili Peppers, this is what Red Hot Chili Peppers sounds like.
So yeah, there's yeah, he's not wrong. Yeah. That's a thing with Anthony Kiedis sometimes. It's just he just tends to mumble. Sometimes. Whoa, hey, heads up there.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, we'll stop.
We'll stop with it all. Jeez. Good Lord. All right, fine. But yeah, that same thing, I don't know if he's done any mumble rap, but I'd like to see his take on that. There's also a reaction video.
There's one with Snoop and there's one with Ed Sheeran hearing their own versions of that. Yeah, very funny.
Very cool stuff. Yeah,
that one up. It's fun.
Very cool. Well, Johnny, always appreciate you taking the time to come in. We're going to remind people that a new episode of the Mike and Molson Too Good for Radio podcast will be dropping later on today. So stick around for that. If you missed any of the interviews we had this week from the likes of WWE superstar Dakota Kai, WWE in town tomorrow at the BOS Center. We also had Hanako Greensmith from Chicago Fire. We had Brett Gelman. You know him as Murray from Stranger Things. Of course, Eric Davis. You can find all those at the Mike Wimacher Show podcast. Find it wherever you find your podcast.